Well, is anyone excited to be at church today? Oh, yeah. I know I am. For those of you watching online, for those of you, if it's your first time, we're so glad you're here as we land the plane on our series Catch and Release, which is basically casting the vision for our church of where we're heading over the next year. And if this is your first time, it gives you an inside look of how we do this, how we pull this off, and where we're going. So we're so glad you're here. The vision of our church for the last 4 years is pretty simple. It's helping people move towards God. Would you say that with me? Helping people move towards God. And one of the things that we've realized over this year is that we are constantly in a tension as a church with these three key values, kind of like the tension when you get a fish and it's like on the line. We're on a constant tension of these three key values: share, shape, send. Will you say these with me? Share, shape, send. We want to be a church that is constantly doing whatever it takes to share with people how much God loves them and wants a real, real relationship with them, and doing whatever it takes to invite, to have people come sit with us, to share how God has changed our lives. But not only do we want to be a church that is sharing, but we also got to roll up our sleeves, get our hands dirty, and get to work and help shape one another into the image of God, to reel each other into His image with all we've got to help people so that we can become more and more like Jesus, to imitate, to keep shaping. But we don't stop there. We also want to be a church that just doesn't shape, but is a church that helps send, that is willing to release, to not be about releasing people, but to cheer people on, to celebrate people heading out to plant new works like this all across our city, our nation, and around the world. In a very similar way, Jesus shared this fishing statement for us that fits in the center of this, and that's this statement right here. It says, come follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come follow me from the share concept, and I will make you, as the shape concept, and fishers of men to being sent out. I truly believe that as a church, if we want to stay healthy, if we want to stay in the will of God and make Him smile down on Miles City, we need to constantly manage the tension of sharing, shaping, and sending. And so today, as we land the plane, we're going to talk about what it looks like to be a sending church. We're going to talk about what it looks like to release. We're going to talk about what it looks like to let go of our treasure, collectively as a church, but also as individuals. But before we dive in, I want to pray for you. I want to pray for me, okay? Father, thank you for gathering us in this room from all different backgrounds. And God, as we talk about the idea of releasing and letting go, I know today that some of us feel like, man, we got nothing to let go of. We got nothing to release because we got nothing to give, because we just feel drained. We just feel like overwhelmed. We just feel exhausted. And so I just ask right now, God, that today, that your presence would just fill people up with you, would fill people up with just strengthening their trust and their faith in you. Thank you for how much you love us. Father, I ask that you control my mind, control my pace, my tongue. And we're so excited to see what you're going to do. Pray this in the power of your son's name, Jesus. Amen. Well, hey, if you have a copy of the scriptures, I want you to open it up to the book of Luke. That's one of the gospels, which basically tells the story of Jesus. Matthew, Mark, Luke, third one in, also will be on the screen. Luke chapter 5, Jesus is now in the town of Capernaum, and he's recruiting his team. He's recruiting a team to help start the first church. And now that has echoed all the way to here, to 2019 in Plymouth, Michigan. And so here's how the story starts. It says this. It says, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, meaning the things that Jesus was saying was so incredible. People were overwhelmed by what he was saying, and it was kind of upside down thinking against what our flesh normally would say to do. Not only that, but he was doing these miracles, miracle after miracle. People could not get enough, and they were literally pressing into him so much that they were pushing him literally into the water. And so Jesus says, it says that he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them, and they were washing their nets. They'd been fishing all night, and then the process was to take these large nets and then hang them up and then pick all the seaweed out and get them all clean so that they could do it the next day. And so they're cleaning up their nets, and they start walking back by their boats. And as they walk by their boats, this is what happens. Check this out. It's unbelievable. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon Peter's. And I just got to stop there for a second, because can you imagine someone just getting into your boat without asking? I mean, that's what Jesus was doing. He just got on their boat. Imagine you go out in your parking lot right now and someone's just sitting in your car. You'd be like, what the heck are you doing in my car? You know what I mean? So this is what's going on. And so not only that, then this is how Jesus responds. He doesn't even say, oh, sorry, I'm in your boat. He says, hey, can you push me out in the water just a little bit? Can you just kind of push me out there? So not only are you in my boat, now you're asking me to use my boat, okay? So this is just getting out of control.
So then at this point, Simon Peter's thinking, okay, he's been saying a lot of amazing things. I've been seeing him do miracles. Maybe I should just let this guy use my boat. And so he does. And so Jesus sits down and he teaches the people from the boat. So it's almost like that's his stage. That's his pulpit. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, I want you to put out, he said, hey, can you put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch? So now, okay, all right, Jesus, first you get into my boat. Then you want to use my boat. And now you're going to start telling me how to fish? Okay, first of all, you've just like shown your cards that you're a carpenter because it's day and you're supposed to fish at night and we didn't catch anything. We couldn't even catch a minnow. And now you want us to throw our nets back and we just cleaned our nets. What are you thinking? So he's, you know, it says that they were toiling. Go to the next one. They were toiling all night. They couldn't catch anything. But all right, you know, it's just, you're kind of a remarkable person and I'm going to lean into what you're saying. And so at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, it says that they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. Can you imagine this moment? I mean, no fish all night, just hours before, saddened by, what are we going to do? We didn't get a good payday. How are we going to feed our family? How are we going to feed our friends? And now all of a sudden, there's just this unbelievable catch, and the nets are literally breaking. Just imagine that. And then it says this. It says that they signal to their partners in the other boats to come and help them, saying, hey, and remember this, hey, come on over and help us. And they came, and they filled both the boats up so that they literally were sinking. But when Simon Peter saw it, it says that he fell down at Jesus' knees saying, oh, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He was recognizing who he was and who God was. Oh, Lord, for he and all who were with them were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And not just by the catch, but who was behind the catch. And then it continues and says, and so were James and John. They were astonished who were partners with Simon. And then Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching people. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Now, can we just imagine this moment? I mean, they're sinking. The nets are breaking off the side of the boat. They're trying to pour them in. Fish are flopping in and out. They call for the other boats. They come. They're trying to get the fish over in the other boats. I mean, what a scene. And we can think, there's so many things that we can dive into when it comes to this story. But think about this. The signaling of the other boats. Why did they signal for the other boats? We don't know their intent. Maybe it was because they felt like, well, we're going to sink. We don't want to sink, or we don't want to lose the treasure, or we want to share our treasure. We don't know their exact intent on why they signaled for the other boats. But what I want to kind of lean into today is this thought, is this question of, what if they didn't signal for the other boats? What if they kept the treasure for themselves? What if they said, oh my goodness, what an amazing catch that God has given us, and they just hoarded all the fish for themselves and said, you boats, you stay over there. This is our catch. This is my catch. This is our treasure. No one can touch it. Yeah, but you're sinking. I don't care. Yeah, but you have so much. Yeah, I don't care. Yeah, but it's like you're over the limit. Yeah, I don't care. That would seem kind of ridiculous, wouldn't it? But as I processed that this week, I started to think about in my own life how many times that I can hoard the treasure that God has given me. And the idea of being willing to release it and to give it away and to let it go, that can be tough, right? It's so easy for us to hoard the treasure that God has given because everything we have comes from Him. And so what I want to do for the rest of our time is I want us just to kind of lean into this a little bit. And when I think about treasure, we're going to be thinking about it in terms of people and pennies. We're going to think about it in terms of people and pennies. And let's talk about people just for a little bit. At Miles City, we strive to be a sending church to help other works like this get started in other parts of our city. And so as people are raised up to go, that can be tough to let them go. That can be tough to celebrate them. It's easy to just kind of like, oh, let's not talk about it. We want to keep that talent. We want to hoard those people for ourselves, for our thing, instead of letting them go and start new works. It's tough to send the people you love the most out. It's very, very difficult. A little bit later in our service, you're going to hear a conversation between our first church planner and I, Shay Prisk, about the tension that we deal with being a sending church and letting go of people. This past week, I was in Texas at Lake Point Church that supports us, that has invested in us. And man, what an incredible church. And I was with 46 other church planters that they invest in all over the country. And those are just North America, but they also brought in some of their global church planters that they've helped out. And so we're all together in a room singing out, "You're the way maker, miracle worker," all in our different languages. Vietnamese, an Indian guy, a Chinese person, a Jap. I mean, it was unbelievable. And then they shared this crazy stat that on any given Sunday, with all the churches that they're investing in, it's over 50,000 people are gathering across the globe because there's one church that said, you know what, it's a lot bigger than Lake Point. We can have a greater impact beyond our walls. And that's my heart. That's our heart as a church, to be a church that's not just about keeping it all here for ourselves, but being willing to send people to start many more works. The impact we can have is just incredible. So not only do we want to be a church that doesn't hoard people, all right? We want to be a church that doesn't hoard our pennies, that doesn't hoard our finances, that doesn't hoard our money. Because, I mean, let's be real, like, all of us in this room, like, the only reason why this thing runs is because so many people are obedient and faithful to give, to help this thing run, but to also help start other churches to run. And so it's not by accident that's what we do, but come on, right? It's difficult. It's difficult to let go of our treasure, to let go, to allow God to use the things that he has given us. It's so easy for us to hoard it, to go beyond our limits, to take on too much just to, you know, I'm not going to give it to anything else. I'm just going to have it for me and for my family. When you go fishing, there's limits on fishing, right? You can only catch so many fish per day depending on what kind of fish it is. And then you can go take those fish home and fry them up and enjoy them. But when you reach your limit, you're supposed to catch and release. But when the fish are biting good and you get some good ones, sometimes you kind of want to slip it in the cooler and hopefully you don't get caught by the DNR, right? You know, you can just start taking on too much. In a very similar way, we can take on too much. We go beyond our limits. Now, you might be sitting here thinking, Travis, I'm not beyond my limits. My nets aren't breaking. I'm not rich. I mean, who do you think? What are you talking about? I mean, come on. I drive a Honda, okay, Travis? I mean, like, we don't even have Netflix, okay? Our three kids have to share the same iPad, okay? Like, I've had the same iPhone for 3 years. I haven't updated, or we haven't, you know, remodeled our kitchen, or we have a refrigerator that doesn't have an ice dispenser, so we still have to use the trays to crack our ice. I only get about 3 $5 lattes a week. I don't get one every day. I mean, come on. I'm not over my limits. Now, the reason why we think this way sometimes is because we compare, right? We compare to other people. We compare to people that are richer than us. And so then we don't think that our nets are breaking. We don't think we have much. So if we're going to compare, we got to compare the other way. So right now, if you make $32,400 a year, you are in the top 1% of the richest people in the world. If you make over $32,000, you are considered one of the richest people in the world. Right now, the poverty level is set at $1.90 a day. 80% of the globe lives on less than $10 a day, but the average American lives on $101 a day. We're rich. We are blessed beyond measure. But sometimes we don't feel that or think that because we've taken on too much for ourselves and for our families. And so our great God, who's given us everything, says, hey, I've put a limit on you. And that limit isn't a number, because that number is different for everyone in this room. The limit is your heart. And our great God calls us to be givers that are cheerful and sacrificial. Would you say that with me? Givers that are cheerful and sacrificial. In Mark 12, it talks about when Jesus was hanging around the temple and he watched people go and give an offering to the temple, and there was these rich people that gave a generous, or they gave a big gift. But then there was this widow that came and gave just a couple coins, which would be like a penny to us. And Jesus told the same guys in the fishing boat, said, hey, you see that widow over there? She gave more than they did. Why? Because they gave out of their abundance. It was almost like, here's a tip, God. She gave out of whatever she had left. She gave cheerfully. She gave sacrificially. And God is calling us, is calling you to be givers that are cheerful and sacrificial. Now, let me just call out the elephant in the room, okay? You might be here for the first time, or you've been coming for a few months. And you're like, okay, here we go. Pastor's on stage saying, cough it up, okay? He's wanting our money. Okay, here we go. I knew it was coming sooner or later. Hear me, please hear me. The heart behind me talking about this. Miles City doesn't want you to give for Miles City's sake. Miles City wants you to be a giver for your heart's sake. Please don't think of yourself as too awesome that this church or any church survives off of whether you give or not. God is way bigger than that. But God wants you to be a part of it. God wants you to be a part of it. I personally, as your pastor, don't want you to miss out, because God wants every area of our lives. And guess what? Letting go of our finances and trusting Him with that is the hardest thing to let go of. It's so difficult to do. As your pastor, for you to be able to fight the temptation of greed and that can overwhelm us, you got to be willing to give. And if you're not willing to give and trust God with your finances, it limits you in your relationship with God, and the intimacy in your faith becomes limited. And so we share this with you, and we challenge you to give, not to get money, but for you to be a part of what God has for you and to increase your faith and to increase your trust. Jesus says this, don't store up treasures in heaven or treasures on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them. He says, and where thieves break in and steal. He says, store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will also be. Where your heart is, your treasure is. Where your heart is, your treasure is. Where your heart is where your loyalty lies. And so is it for the earth? Or is it for something bigger than that? Is it something bigger than just taking it all on for yourself, but giving it away for the benefit of others? Now, I think we all know this. None of us have the chance when we die to fill up a U-Haul and take it with us, right? Right? We know the old saying, you can't take it with you. And so my question for you is, where is your treasure? And what are you investing it in? Is it all on you and your family? Or is it for the benefit of others? So at Miles City, we wanted to give you a chance to really practice this, to really be challenged to go the extra mile. And so in a little bit, I'm going to give you the opportunity to take this card. And what we're doing over the next 6 months is we're striving to go the extra mile above and beyond what we normally give. Or maybe for some of you, being challenged to give for the very first time. And what we're doing with going the extra mile over the next 6 months is to raise $200,000 above and beyond. And what is that going towards? That's going towards helping plant two churches out of us. And that takes a lot to do, to help us plant two churches out of us. To increase our spaces with our warehouse and rent for our other location in Lyon, and then to increase our technology at the kids level, student level, and adult level. And so we believe that we're going to need to do about $200,000 over, above, and beyond. Now, before I give you some time to really think about what that means for you, I want to share with you a few ways in how you can do that. And as I share this, I don't want you to think I'm bragging, because bragging is something that no one else can do, and so this is something that we all ought to do, so it's not bragging. But Jen and I, when we first launched this church, we talked about the idea of, okay, we need to be sacrificial givers. And so for the longest time, ever since I can remember, I've always given a portion of what I make back to the local church, back to expanding His mission. And so I've been raised my whole life to give 10%. In the Old Testament, it talks about 10%. as the floor, and actually they actually were giving more than 10% in the Old Testament. But Jesus said, sacrificially, but for so long, I kept 10% at the floor. So when I stand up on stage, because I never ask you to do something that I'm not challenged with, Jen and I are like, okay, what is it going to look like for us each year to increase our percentage, to give above and beyond and to be sacrificial and to challenge that? And so that's what we've done. And so for you, I just challenge you when it comes to maybe it is a certain percentage, and not let 10% be the ceiling, let it be the floor. But for some of you, that might mean 2% because you've never done that before. Some of you, that might be 15% because it's really not that much for you. It all depends on where you're at and when it comes to you being sacrificial in your giving and to be challenged in that way. Another way to go above and beyond is to say no to something for a season, to say yes to someone that you love even more. And so, you know, last year when we did this as a couple, and as we've been talking about it this year, we're thinking, yeah, we'd really like to do this thing to our house, but you know what? Let's hold off. It doesn't need to be done right away. And we're going to use that to help go the extra mile, to help see new churches get started. Last year, I heard great stories from so many of you that made it a family affair, which I love. To teach our children to be sacrificial and cheerful in their giving of saying, all right, we're going to not have cable for the next few months, or we're going to stop eating out so many times, or we're going to limit our extravagance on that vacation. We're going to downsize it a little bit, and here's the reason why. And so maybe for you, the way to go the extra mile is to say no to something for a season, to say yes to something that you love even more. Another way to go the extra mile is to look at your savings. As Jen and I, we look at our savings and we look at our storehouse that we've been building up, and we say, okay, how much do we really need to have in that? And is that too much? And to be willing to trust to God that, hey, we're willing to let that go. We're willing to trust that if we take some of that and to invest in going the extra mile. There's so many different ways that you can do that. And that's something that I want to challenge you to pray through and to think about. Now, before I give you the opportunity to do that, a lot of times when I read through a scripture or a story, I like to go there. I don't know if anyone, you know, does that. I like to just picture that I'm there. And so a lot of times, like this week when I was in the boat and I'm feeling the fish sinking the boat and I'm seeing fish flying all over the place, sometimes I found myself forgetting who was in the boat. Jesus was in the boat. And sometimes when I think about us as a sending church and sending out people and starting new churches, sometimes I forget, oh, that's right, yeah, Jesus, you are with us every step of the way. You're behind this. And you provide exactly what we need at exactly the right time. When I think about giving extra, when I think about sacrificial giving, sometimes it's like, well, how am I going to do this, or how are we going to pay for this? And it starts to feel overwhelming, and I don't know if I want to let that go. And then He reminds me, I'm with you. I'm in the boat, and I'm going to give you exactly what you need at exactly the right time. Trust me. I want to increase your faith. Trust me with this, even this area of your life, to let go, to be willing to release. And why? Why invest in this? Why invest in this? And the reason is, last year, when we went the extra mile, we went the extra mile to start a church in South Lyon. And it happened. And I'm not going to give his real name, but let's just say his name is Jason. For 3 years, we became friends. And he was so standoffish to the idea of how there's a God, how much he loves him and wants a real relationship with him. Just, always just kind of put the conversation down. But when we started South Lyon, he said, hey, you know, I know you've been working hard on this, so I appreciate how you support me and what I do, so I'm going to go check it out. And he came. And then the next Sunday, he came again. Then he missed a week. And then he came again. Then he came again. And then 1 week, I shared about how much God loves him. And he raised his hand and he gave his life to Jesus. And now his marriage is stronger. His family is stronger. He's moving and moving closer and closer to God. And it's like, that's why we do this. That's why we invest in this. That's why I am willing to let go, even when it's hard, even when it seems scary, to invest in something so much greater than this earth, so much greater than myself. And that's investing in the mission so that we can keep seeing this multiply all across our city, our state, our nation, and the globe. May we be a part of that. May we be challenged to go the extra mile. And so what we're going to do, I'm going to give you some time to really pray about this, to really, really think. And if you're not here alone, if you're here with a spouse or here with a family member, we're going to put on some music, and I just want you to just pray about it and have a conversation with one another and say, okay, what does it look like for us to go the extra? Maybe that's, okay, we're going to maybe give for the first time. We've never done this before. Or we're going to say no to something or put a percentage down. I want you to take this seriously and just take some time. We'll put some music on and just take some time to ask God, what does it look like for us as a family to not only have and catch, but to let go and to release and go the extra mile? And so take some time now, grab that card, and we'll put some music on.
Tell me one of your craziest fishing stories.
Me and my little brother, before we knew there was like such thing as like bow fishing, we were under the impression that we had invented bow fishing. Now, we literally would rig up our compound bows that were supposed to be for deer hunting, and we would tie a rope to an arrow, which is not a good intelligent thing to do.
And you just take your bow and you just shoot them.
Literally just take a bow and you're just going around.
And you hit them pretty good.
Yeah, well, once we figured out that it was a thing, that we didn't invent it, that there was actually, you are getting a lot of bites. I hooked up for you.
Dude, here we go.
Holy smokes, it's a big one.
It's a bruiser.
Look at it.
Here.
Look at it.
I'll do the loving thing right now and take it off for you, too.
Look at that.
Just trying to grab it like you do a bass.
Look at that.
I only get it with my pinky.
Look at that. It's just like, what a catch. So there's some fish.
Okay, this is your first catch of the day. You gotta kiss it.
I ain't kissing that.
God, just give it a kiss.
I'm kissing the fish, dude. You kiss the fish. There's some fish that, you know, it's not that big of a deal to let go of and release. But there's other fish that, man, you don't want to let go of, man. You don't want to release.
You know Especially what I mean? A fish like this that you know can feed your family for weeks.
Yeah. It's crazy to think it's been almost 4 years since Mile City launched. And then what, it's been almost 2 years since Grum Law was sent out.
Yeah.
Because I know myself and so many who've been around from the beginning just remember those times that we had and what we were all doing together was just incredible.
Yeah. It's one thing to talk about it, but then to actually, when it gets time to like, oh, we're actually gonna do this thing. And then you start to second guess yourself and you start to go, is this really like the right thing? Like, is this actually what we're supposed to be doing? Because like relationships and friendships and work environments like this, like, aren't normal. They're not easy to come by. And then the temptation of going, you know, maybe we'll just stay here. Like maybe Andrea and I, like, I think Travis will have me if I can convince him that God doesn't want me to go plant a church anymore. Maybe we'll just like, you know, we'll just stay at Mile City, which like would have been the, I think, you know, the easier thing to do. But I remember you asking me the question, you know, where are we gonna have the greatest impact? And no doubt, you know, you were helping me, I was helping you, we were, you know, helping each other in Miles City, but where are we gonna have the greatest impact? I don't think either one of us could have looked each other in the eye and said, we're gonna have the greatest impact by staying this thing together. Mm-hmm. And obviously, that's glaringly obvious now because we look at all the lives that have been impacted now in Grand Blanc because of what God's been doing through Grum Law. But in the moment, it's not as easy, it's not as cut and dry as it seems. Once you start watching certain people that you really care about and stuff walk out the door and people that are really involved walk out the door, like you've been pretty open with me that it's like, it can be hard too. Like it's not all roses, like, you know, it can kind of be painted to be. Like it can be a pretty challenging thing, right?
Yeah, and not only on us as lead pastors and our staff, but also for, you know, members of our churches, because you're sending out people that have been in your group. Mm-hmm. You're sending out, you know, sometimes groups can be decimated because of church planting. And
right.
you're kind of like, well, what the heck? Where's my community? And it's just this constant cycle of rebuilding and reshaping. But what's the alternative?
Yeah, holding on. And who are we? You know, that's kind of something I've been telling myself is like, who are we to hold on to people anyway?
Yeah.
Like as if we're like, we somehow have control over people. Like it's pretty arrogant mentality. Yeah.
And the other cool thing is what we've seen, and you're going to see too, is as key families decide, hey, we're going to go with this church plant, we're going to be sent out. As a loss that we think that can feel like, knowing that it is a gain for the kingdom, but then the other gain is for our church, is because people that may have been looked over, not intentionally, or have just been sitting on the bench, now it's like, oh, who's gonna fill this slot? Who's gonna do this?
Yeah, we need you to get involved. I think, yeah, just the most tangible thing is like, you're having an impact that goes so far beyond Plymouth and South Lyon. You know, almost back to that question, like, where are we gonna have the greatest impact? And how great is it that everybody at Miles City gets to be a part of something that is so much bigger than themselves? We're not seeing a fraction of what God is doing through Drumlaw, Miles City, Riza, all these church plants that are gonna come out of this. It's like you get to be a part of all these stories that I hope that when we get to heaven, Jesus gets to tell us, and he is like, look at all the good that the local church did. And had you guys just selfishly kept this all to yourself and you just Miles City and protecting home base, it would have still done some good, but the impact is so much greater because you decided to multiply, because you decided to get over yourselves and say, we are about the big C, the big church.